Paul, an apostle of
Christ Jesus, by the will of God. To the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from our God, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for those who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amen.
What a wonder. That's what Christ has done for us. I think I'm probably right in saying that there's a good number of you are drivers. You drive a car. And to drive a car, you would have passed the test. I wouldn't embarrass you by asking how many times you took the test, but you'd have took a test. I want to read to you about a lady who took a test. Her name is Mrs. Betty Tudor from Exeter. At the last count, she had clocked up 273 hours of driving lessons. In that time, she had exhausted 9 instructors. Anybody identifying with this so far? And has been banned from 3 driving schools. She has only taken the driving test 7 times, but has failed them all. On the last occasion, she went the wrong way around a roundabout And the examiner was so terrified, he took over and drove the car back to the driving test centre. And the commentator said, drawn on that experience of Mrs. Betty Tudor, says, some Christians go to their grave in ripe old age with their L plates still on. And God longs for us to be mature. Just keeping that car metaphor going. It said that some Christians never drive a car with the right grade of petrol in their tank. They never fill up with the Holy Spirit. And as a result, their life is rather spluttering. It's rather powerless one. It's one of in and out of fellowship, in and out of relationships with God. And you see, Christ didn't die for that sort of relationship. He didn't die for that. He didn't die just to have a tenuous hold on life. That's not what he died for. He died to give us abundant life. Amen? He died to give us abundant life. That portion of scripture which Graham read to us, it's Paul. He's come towards the end of his life. He knows what the end of his life is going to be. And he writes from prison. He writes to friends who he knows he'd never see again. You know, when somebody's facing the end of their life, words are very precious. Every word is very precious to them. You don't waste words when you're facing the end of your life. So those words are really important to listen to. And Paul, writing from prison, more than anything else, he wants to tell his friends, he wants them to grasp the enormity of what God has done for them. He wants to tell them the benefits that Christ has given them. See, foremost in his mind must have been many other things. He could have shared lots of things with them. But he had to get this message through. He had to get this message through, if nothing else. He had to make them know for themselves what God had done in Jesus and what that means for them in their lives and what it means for us in our lives as well. It's essential that we take a real hold of that message. You see, I've heard many testimonies of lives which were going nowhere. Lives which were just drifting on. But now, having found Christ, they're full of new challenges and new hopes and new dreams and new visions. Hallelujah. Chosen by God. That's what that scripture said. Chosen by God. Well, what has God done? Well, we need to know this. And this is the wonder. Many wonders, but this is a wonder to me. Before the world had even begun, before you were a twinkle in your dad's eye, before all of that, God chose you. Just look at the person next to you. And just say, before the world began, God chose you. God chose you. He chose you and he chose to be in a relationship with you. The closeness of which can merely be glimpsed in the closeness of a relationship between an infant and its parents. He had a plan for you before the world began. The plan was that we should be completely dedicated to him. We should be holy before him. And we should be wholly good. His intention has always been that everything which is, both created things of the universe and the things of God, those things which are above, beyond, and below creation, should be brought gloriously together forever. That's what verse 10. Everything in heavens and earth should be brought together in unity with him. That was his intention. And it still is. It still is. I know when we look at the world, we can say that that's far from ideal at the moment. We know that the state of the world falls short of this unity of God and humans which he intended. It took the gracious actions of Jesus Christ to buy us back from God through his death. A sacrifice which allows our sin to be forgiven. But you know, amazing as all that is, known before the world began, sins are forgiven. That's just but the beginning of a life in Christ. Just the beginning of the blessings which we have in him for our inheritance. To be part of a kingdom of perfection which Jesus will fill with his goodness and rule over forever. Part of that kingdom. Part of that kingdom. You see, as we move through life, we have struggles. But if we see our present struggles from God's eternal perspective, what he has planned for us, then that can transform our lives and can transform our circumstances. See things from God's eternal perspective. But how can we be sure all the riches of God will be ours? Here and in heaven. How can we be sure of that? Well, verse 14 says, because we have a sign now. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven. We have a sign now which marks us out as God's, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Lots of talk is done about the Holy Spirit, and some of it's used and some of it's misused. Jesus says he comes through his Holy Spirit. Let's not get bogged down in theology of it all. Just embrace that as a fact. Jesus comes and lives within us with his Holy Spirit. And whenever you see the Spirit at work, you can be reassured that it's a taste of what is to come in the future. We've seen the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. We've heard the testimonies of others. That's but a foretaste of what God has planned for us in our future. And the more we are aware of the Spirit's impact on our lives, the better we will know God. Let me just read this portion of Scripture. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Have you asked for the gift of the Holy Spirit? Just take a moment. If you haven't asked for the Holy Spirit, see, he's not going to force that on you. We need to ask. Say, here, Lord, I'm ready. Just take a moment and invite the Holy Spirit into your life. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. You know, in this postmodern world that we live in, there doesn't seem to be any truth any longer. Humankind has lost truth in God, and science somehow is now anything. But Scripture says the Holy Spirit will lead you into all wisdom. Into all wisdom. Hallelujah. See, we tend, I think, to underestimate the power that is available to Christians through the Spirit. It's the same power that was mighty enough to bring Jesus back from the dead. That's the same power that we can invite into our lives. It certainly can change our situations. It can change our lives. Give us a new power and a new perspective. You can't buy that, can you? You can't buy that. That has to be a gift given in grace. Verse 22 and 23 of the portion that Graham read for us says, open your eyes, pleads Paul. Open your eyes. Glimpse the reach and enormity of what the church is part of. Glimpse the enormity of it. You know, if you're on the edge of the church, I ask you to move into the center. Move into the center of the church where God can bestow his goodness in all of its fullness. All of its fullness. If you kind of do that, if you stand on the edge, placing conditions on how he should work and how he shouldn't work, placing conditions on how he operates, calls for surrender. Surrender means laying everything before him, our doubts, our sin, our hopes, our fears, lay it all before him. See what he does with it. You will be amazed. Can't do that if we stand on the edge. You remember the parable of the sower? There's different soils. And we need to ask ourselves, am I a hard-packed soil that nothing's really going to grow in it? I'm in a sort of soil, well, the seeds did take root, but it all died when the sun came out. It all died when things got difficult. Who am I in the parable of the sower? Are you the person who has heard the word but refuses to let it take root in your life? Have we let our minds become so hard to the word of God that he can't do anything with us? You see, hard, rigid minds do not grow. They just don't grow. They fossilize. They don't grow. It's useful to know that Jesus changed. Jesus himself changed. Jesus grew and changed. Luke 25:22, he says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. See, Jesus had to grow. When I came across it, some might think that Jesus was perfect from the cradle, right? Jesus grew. Jesus grew in wisdom and knowledge and his understanding of his Father. Now, if that's necessary for him to grow, it's certainly necessary for you and I to grow and to allow him into our lives as we grow. You see, we might be the sort of person who prefers to stay in our comfort zone. If we stay in our comfort zone, then I'm in control. I don't have to deal with that stuff out there, up there, down there. Stay in our comfort zone. When I open my Bible, do I always go to the favorite parts and the ones I think I already understand? I'm not going to bother anywhere else because it's too challenging. I'm just going to read what I already know. I'm only going to listen to the preacher if he confirms what I already know. I'm only going to read the preacher if he confirms what I already understand and I've made my Bible. Anything else, I switch off. You see, if we stay in our comfort zone, we don't have to wrestle with new thoughts. We don't have to wrestle with new challenges. I only listen to people I think I'll agree with, and I'll only read the books if I think they're safe. Safe being telling me what I already know. You see, some people just shut off when you say something they don't want to hear. If that's you or I, then we become fossilized. God cannot bless us if we adopt that style of personality. He cannot do anything with us. God has a great blessing for us, and he pleads with us to allow him to work with us. See, not only if we have a closed mind, it's not just we who miss out on the blessing. But can you imagine the agony it is for God? He has this bundle, whole bag of stuff he wants to give to us. Knowing that it will be a blessing, knowing that it will change our lives and our circumstances, he knows that. But we will not reach out and take it. Can you imagine how difficult that is? If you're a parent, you know, think of a present you've given for your you've bought for your child, and you go to give the present to your child, and the child just throws it back at you. That's hurtful, isn't it? That's hurtful. I think that's how God feels. I think that's how God feels when we close our minds to his blessings. Near the end of the parable of the sower, Jesus said, "Listen then, if you have ears to hear, if you have ears to hear, don't try to block out what he wants to say to us." Jesus wants to love us. He wants to love us abundantly. He wants to love us when we feel his arms around us. He wants us to feel that sense of his love. See, if and when we do realize what it means to be part of God's plan that he had before the world began for you as an individual and me as an individual, the petty differences of opinion that feature in life fail into insignificance. When we give it all to him, when we surrender all to him, when we allow his transforming love to change us, Church of Jesus Christ will truly be what he wants it to be, what he always plans it to be. The love that we share amongst each other will truly be what he wants it to be. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you do have a plan for us. It's a wonderful plan. It's a plan to bless us. It's a plan that you have for all the citizens of your kingdom. Lord, help us to surrender all, that that plan might take fruition in our lives. Help us to release all that stops us from blessing us. Help us to have faith in you, Lord. What we surrender, you will give back to us 100-fold. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to come to